Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I was thinking this is the third talk where I'm starting with these scriptures. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a couple of things here. Today, the title of the talk is Manna. All manner of things. Manna, M-A-N-N-A. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So it refers to here as the fathers being the nation of Israel, as they're wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. They were baptized unto Moses when they went through the sea, and then they ate the same spiritual meat. So it's important there, it's here referred to as spiritual food. So it is definitely talking about manna, and we'll read the scriptures later. Regarding manna specifically, but it refers to it here as spiritual meat. Manna was spiritual meat. And we just heard a couple of testimonies. So nowadays we're in the spiritual realm. We don't sacrifice goats and bulls and so forth. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so praying in tongues is that spiritual meat. But there's the Old Testament example of it. And then carry on to verse 5. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." And then over in verse 21, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." So I'll bring out a few scriptures today. And as the people were wandering through the wilderness, there are things that happened there where they started lusting after other food, other things. And then it goes in verse 21, "You cannot drink and eat the things of the Lord, and you cannot drink and eat the things that aren't of the Lord or of the devil." And there is a clear distinction between the two. You cannot be partakers of both. People try to be partakers of both, but as it says elsewhere in the scriptures, you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll love one and hate the other. You cannot have two masters and so forth. But it's an important thing that as we carry on, we're spirit-filled, we have signs following us, that we carry on being partakers of the Lord's table and not being wooed over to the devil's table, as we will read about. So just before we get there, Psalm chapter 78. An aspect that I want to bring out about this manna. So Psalm chapter 78 and verse 22. "Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above," "and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full." So there's another aspect of this manna. It says it's angels' food. So it's a spiritual food. And there's that thing, that establishing the fact that manna came from heaven. It's a spiritual food. It's angels' food. And man, while they're walking in the wilderness, ate this spiritual food, this angels' food in the Old Testament time. But now, as I said before, it's a spiritual time now, and praying in tongues is that spiritual food. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Exodus 16 and verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." So this is when God predicts that he will rain bread from heaven for the people of Israel. But then he goes on and it says that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So whether they will dine at the Lord's table or not. So same aspect applies now. You know, we have these spiritual blessings. The Lord's proving us in our wilderness experience whether we'll dine at his table or not. And back here, this was the purpose. Down in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." So this is the bread. Moses clearly says, this is the bread that came from heaven. This is the angel's food. This is that spiritual meat that the Lord has given you to eat. But I love the fact that manna, all it means is, what is it? You know, this amazing food, this incredible miracle. For 40 years, they were fed on this manna. And all we could name is, what is it? You know, like, what's in a name? Like, it's just a nothing, an innocuous name for this thing, this manna. But it's what it's called. It's what the Israelites called this spiritual food. They called it manna. And so this was the start of it. And then it goes through, as you read through the chapter, that they were supposed to gather this manna for 6 days, and they'll rest on the seventh, having gathered twice as much. But for 40 years, week after week, there was this miracle in the wilderness where they were fed from this spiritual food. And in verse 35, "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan." And you can read further down the track that this manna stopped as soon as they got into the promised land. And that's also an important aspect of this manna, this spiritual food. It was only feeding Israel while they were in the wilderness. Once they got to the promised land, it stopped. So I'll so it's the same now. We pray in tongues. That's the food. That's the spiritual food. We built up in that, in the Holy Ghost, through speaking in tongues. But when we read in Corinthians 13, it says, when that which is perfect has come, tongues will cease. So it's the same aspect. Speaking in tongues is only needed while we're here in the wilderness. When Jesus returns and we go to the promised land, that spiritual meat will stop. But praise the Lord, he's given us that comfort. We've got a type to draw upon in the Old Testament of what it actually means. And we can read further elsewhere that while they were walking through the wilderness, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. The Lord helped them with the spiritual meat. And us also, as we walk through this wilderness, it says that we will not beg for bread. Praise the Lord, what a wonderful promise that is. You know, no matter how destitute we may feel or are, the Lord says we will not beg for bread. He'll always be there to help us out with this spiritual food as well. Deuteronomy chapter 8, just to reiterate what the Lord was up to. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So he did this to humble them, to prove them, to know what was in their heart. And in a way, we're here, like I said, in the wilderness. The Lord is to humble us, to prove us, and know what's in our heart. So that when the roll gets called up, yonder, we'll be there, because the Lord knows what's in our heart. We've been refined through this process. And in fact, in verse 3, it says, the man does not live on bread alone. I mean, we need bread, we need food, but we do not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And Jesus quoted this in Matthew 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is God's word. This is God's word. This is the bread. And many people refer to reading the scriptures as the daily bread. So this also is the spiritual food. This is the thing that we devour each day, because we live by the word of God. We have the spirit, we pray in tongues, we have that spiritual meat. This also is spiritual meat, the word of God. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. And the mixed multitude. So there's what it starts off, the mixed multitude. We read out, I think it was last week, no, another time. Anyway, in Exodus 12, verse 38, it actually mentions there that when the nation of Israel left Egypt, there was a mixed multitude that went with them. Oh, that's right, it was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, where I was talking about the goats and the sheep. So nation of Israel left Egypt by a mighty hand, and there was a mixed multitude that went with them. There were people that followed them from Egypt. And here, Numbers 11, verse 4, it says, and the mixed multitude. So the mixed multitude was still there. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So in a way, this mixed multitude that followed Israel, you know, they were people of Egypt, and they fell a-lusting. They were desiring the things of the world, the old life. And then as a consequence, that infected the nation of Israel, the rest of them. And they started thinking, oh yeah, things were pretty good back then. And they fell a-lusting. Verse 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. So they wanted more. They got bored of the manna. They got bored of this amazing miracle, the same thing over and over and over again. This thing that tasted like coriander and was the colour of bdellium. They got bored of it and they wanted the old tucker, the things of the old life. And today also, we can get used to being filled with the Spirit. We drag it on through our lives day in, day out. We pray in tongues day in, day out. We can kind of get used to it. We can kind of forget that amazing time when we first received the Holy Spirit and that joy and that peace that came along with it. But it's simple. We just speak in tongues. It's as simple as that. We can get kind of tired of this one book. There's plenty of books in the library down the road from where I live. It's got much better covers than this one. A boring black cover. But inside is this the words of life. And so we don't want to be like the nation of Israel. Sometimes it can come from others, you know. Like I'll read out, first, it's like 11, you know, and sometimes we can get drawn away. Oh, what about the other things, the things, the old life? You had a good time back then, didn't you? Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, you're right. Have a good laugh with some old mates or whatever. But it's not the things of the Lord. It's not pertaining to life. And so they fell a-lusting, wanting all this stuff. And of course God got annoyed and destroyed quite a few people because of that. They didn't recognize the beauty in this simple little dollop of manna and God's word, this spiritual meat. So just on that leaven thing, Matthew chapter 13. So you don't ignore the little things. It's the day of little things. You know, that little thing of getting up each morning, gathering the manna, cooking, it tastes the same sort of thing, day in, day out. You don't get bored of that. Getting up and praying, churning through the scriptures, learning as much as you can about God's word. Matthew chapter 13. Just read one verse here. And always, whenever I read, when Jesus said, and the kingdom of heaven is like this, you think, ah, okay, we're going to get a snippet of what the kingdom of heaven is like, you know? Woo! It's pretty exciting. I mean, there's many things in the scriptures that describe the kingdom of heaven. But when Jesus says it in verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom. In a way, we're part of this spiritual kingdom now. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have an assembly. We have a body of Christ through the Spirit. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. There's an aspect of the kingdom of heaven where there's leaven, a leaven that leaveneth the whole lump, the whole loaf. And as I read before, there's a mixed multitude that's like a leaven, but then it can infect and infect the whole loaf. So we don't want that negative leaven. I mean, there's also a positive leaven, but we'll dwell on the negative leaven, where it infects us and we forget what it's all about to walk in spirit and in truth. And we start wondering about the old things, the old ways. So Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the... that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So Jesus is picking on here the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their doctrine, as it says in verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That doctrine that came from the mixed multitude that did not pertain unto life, but it was that leaven, that little bit in there, in the lump, and then through those words infected the whole lump, and people started wondering about the salvation and what the real salvation message was. And so Jesus says here to be careful, to beware and know what is of God and what is not of God, to continue to partake of the Lord's table, the Lord's bread, that spiritual bread, not of the other bread that tends to death and destruction, which was the leaven of the Pharisees, paraded as if it seemed to be pious and good and pure, but it wasn't. It wasn't from the scriptures. It wasn't that that spiritual meat. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So this Paul beseeching the Galatians, we can read further that he's saying, O you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Why is this old doctrine, why is this old these old things infecting you like a leaven in a lump? Stand fast in the liberty. So we're free now. We're free through Christ. It says he's made us free. And so the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that the religious groups entangle, have the effect of entangling and that yoke of bondage, you know, weighed down with that weight of religion and trying to prove yourself perfect before the Lord. But now we are free. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So Paul doesn't know who it is that is troubling the Galatian church to go back to the old law, the things of religion, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that yoke of bondage, talking about the circumcision, which was of the old law. That circumcision doesn't apply anymore because it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not in the spiritual realm. Spiritually, our minds have been circumcised in a way where they're pure before the Lord, but it's a spiritual thing now. And so people, this mixed multitude, were bringing up the old things, the garlic and the cucumber and all those things into the modern world and into the spiritual world, and were persuading others to take of that table, the table of devils. Whereas, you know, they stood in liberty before Christ, and then they were entangled. Nowadays, I mean, we're that far from the old law. You know, so we've moved so far along. It's 2,000 years ago, but we can still get entangled. Like I said before, I'm still keeping touch with mostly one mate from the old days, and often we just go back to talking about the old ways. You know, how much fun we had, and yes, they're a lot of fun. But it wasn't going to heaven. I wasn't going to heaven doing that. I was going to hell, and I didn't want that. You know, I want to follow what's in the scriptures. And so not to partake of that other table, but partake of the Lord's table. John chapter 6. So John chapter 6 actually goes through the feeding of the 5,000, which the previous scripture in Matthew referred to. John chapter 6. Miraculously broke the bread and the fish and fed 5,000. But it's an important chapter, a long chapter, John chapter 6, and start in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and you were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So the Son of Man shall give us this meat that does not perish. Verse 31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." So they're yearning to have this bread that comes from heaven. They so desire this thing. Verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So Jesus is saying now that he's replaced the manna. He is the true bread of God that comes from heaven. Verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So Jesus, it's pretty confronting what he says here. My goodness, eating his flesh and his blood, spiritually speaking. I mean, it starts in John 1 that the word became flesh. So God's word became flesh, and that flesh was Jesus. So we consume God's word. That's what it means when we eat Jesus' flesh. We eat his flesh and we consume the word of God. So I said to this lady yesterday as well, I mean, what's encouraging when I first came to the Revival Fellowship, I was just encouraged to read the Bible, the whole Bible. Here's the Bible. Churn through it. You know, they guided me which parts to start with. And so I actually started with the New Testament for a couple of years. I didn't even touch the Old Testament because what's the point? You know, it's what we're all about. But then I started reading the Old Testament with spiritual eyes. So read through the whole Bible, consume the flesh of Jesus. And in fact, people are worried in the Revival Fellowship if people aren't reading the Bible, which is quite different to other groups that I went to before, where they kind of didn't really want people to understand what was in the Bible. But we want to know, we want to consume the flesh of Jesus, which is the Word. And we drink his blood, you know, it's life. Life more abundantly. We have this life. And we pray in tongues as much as we can, till our mouth hurts. but you get used to it, get trained. Okay, then we go down to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So these things that were hard to understand, these people didn't have the spirit, didn't understand. He was a person. You know, he looked plain, looked like any other person, and he was telling them to eat his flesh and drink his blood, which is disgusting. From that time, many disciples went back. They were offended. They were totally offended with what Jesus said, whereas only a couple of verses before, in verse 34, they so wanted to have this life-giving bread, this spiritual bread that came from heaven. But then when Jesus explained it to them, they were offended. They didn't like it. They wanted something different. And so praise the Lord, when we came along, we weren't offended, as Glenna said in her testimony. We felt like we came home. This is where we belong. This is the true bread of life. So people got offended, walked away, no longer followed Jesus, and it refers to them as disciples, disciplined ones who may have been following him for a while, listening to things that he said. And verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And then famous response from Peter, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, people may get offended and fall by the wayside, but dig in. Thou hast the words of eternal life. I caught up with a couple of saints from Perth, and they were just talking about the way it used to be a few years ago in Perth. They were talking about in Armidale, there used to be so many people coming to the meetings in Armidale that they were thinking of starting a new hall out there. And they were saying the house meetings were just full, and there were so many children. There were so many children. They used to have two ladies out there during the house meeting looking after the children. It was just an incredible growth. And I remember when I first came back in 2002, 2003, 2004, the combined meetings were all scrunched up, you know, pushed right, no leg room, and bringing extra chairs in from Morley so you could all fit in the hall. I was told that the last combined meeting that was held in Yanjibup didn't even fill the chairs that were in Yanjibup. You know, there were gaps. And people get offended. People get offended when they hear the word of God and they fall by the wayside. Part of that mixed multitude infects with the leaven, and they want the cucumbers and the garlic of the old life. And it's such a tragedy because we so desire to see everyone here, sitting here, raised up to meet the Lord in the air. We so desire that, to stand firm on what the scriptures say. The scriptures are very clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if we follow him. we will get salvation. Matthew chapter 15. It's a bit of a shock, you know, like, because some of the people that have fallen by the wayside, you know, think they were pretty solid, you know, solid in the Lord. Each day, it says in the scriptures, if you stand, beware if you stand lest you fall, you know, always be humble. Oh, am I doing it right, you know? Am I doing it right? Am I following the Lord? Just churn through the scriptures, ask questions, eat that spiritual meat, keep it simple. Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Oh, you're already there, are you? In verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So God is our Father, we are his children. So we actually sit at the table and partake of the Lord's table. But when you read through this, you know, we are the children sitting at the table eating the bread of life. But then what it says here refers to if there's crumbs that fall to the ground, just little crumbs that fall under the table and the dogs come by and lick it up. What an amazing miracle happened just from those crumbs. You know, this Canaanitish woman partook of these crumbs and her daughter was healed. So imagine what is available to us when we have the dainties set out on the table for the we are the children and we have the children's bread. If the crumbs themselves can perform such wonderful things in people's lives, how about that what's spread on the table can give us? You know, that the Lord's meat. Not the other meat, the Lord's meat. And so we pray and read as much as we can to have these blessings in our lives, to know and just to be sure that we are part of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is within us and we come together rubbing shoulders with each other and we'll be raised up to meet him in the air. That's a promise. I was going to say something else and I forgot. John chapter 21 and verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So Jesus actually says, come and dine. Come and dine. Come and eat with Jesus. Come and dine so that then you can have eternal life. And of course, it's symbolic. There are 153 fish in the net that did not break. And 153 is 17 times 9, which is representative of the church when it's raised up at the end. You know, we'll all be there. It'll be the full church that'll be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. And so come and dine, come and eat of Jesus' table, the Lord's table, that the food that is on his table, the spiritual food. And just over the page, Acts chapter 2. And this is where it all starts. You know, it says in Acts chapter 1 that it's all now about the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit now. The Old Testament was about laws and so forth, but now, after Jesus died and rose again, it's now all about the Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so here it is. This is the start. This is the start of the New Testament era, when people spoke in tongues, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the spiritual bread. That is the spiritual meat that comes from heaven. You know, it doesn't come from us. We're not making it up. It's that spiritual thing, that pure language unto God. God is a spirit. The only way you can please him is through the Spirit and when you receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes through and explains there what they saw, because nobody had ever seen this before. It was very unique. It's the first time ever that these people spoke in tongues. And Peter had to explain it. And he'd only just received the Spirit himself. But as Jesus said, he'll be the rock of the New Testament church. And so he stood up in all confidence and explained that this was actually promised. This was promised in the Old Testament, this new way, stammering lips and another tongue. People will receive the Holy Spirit. He will no longer have to teach us because he'll teach us. People will no longer have to teach each other because he'll teach us. And so it was all about the Spirit. And he explains that this is what you now see and hear. You know, as Belinda said, she knew her daughter received the Spirit because she saw and heard something. She saw her speak in tongues and heard her speak in tongues. And then verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So like I read in John 6, those people so wanted this bread of life. They so wanted to know what to do. But then unfortunately back then, Jesus explained it in a kind of a mysterious way. And they didn't understand and they were offended. Here, we've got people again asking, men and brethren, what do we do? I so want this bread of life. I so want to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a three-part recipe. Repent. Realize that in the flesh you cannot please God. In fact, God doesn't really want you to please you in the flesh, because then that's by works. You know, we're not saved by works. Repent, realize you need the Spirit. Then you're baptized by full immersion, in all humility as obedience to God. And then you pray for the Holy Spirit. And I just love this. You stop praying for the Holy Spirit when you speak in tongues. Because then you've got this spiritual meat. It's just all so clear. And we just praise the Lord that we have that clarity. So we'll finish up in Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56 and verse 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that had gathered unto him. So a great promise here that no matter where you sit in the flesh, no matter where you sit, you know, it refers to strangers, it refers to eunuchs, you know, it refers to people that are downtrodden. God will call them into his house, within his walls, and will place a name better than of sons and of daughters. Praise the Lord, he did that for us. You know, he called us into his house, gave us a name that is better than of sons and of daughters, but it's an everlasting name, a name that will not grow old. You know, it'll just last and last and last, because that is what the Lord wants for us to dwell with him if we follow his commandments. As I read near the start, you know, to prove us and to know what's in our heart if we follow his commandments. Of course, this is in the Old Testament and refers to sacrifices, you know, the burnt offerings. Today, it's the sacrifice of praise. We sacrifice praise to the Lord. We set aside time to praise the Lord, to come to meetings, to help out other saints. That's the sort of sacrifice nowadays. Our Sabbaths, you know, we keep our Sabbaths holy. We have now entered the spiritual rest. We no longer strive for those things that we've left behind. We strive for the things that are spiritual. We've left behind the old Sabbaths, the old things of the flesh, but it's now the spiritual Sabbath, and we strive for the Lord's table, you know, that meat that is on the Lord's table, so that we can have that clarity to reject the things that are not of the Lord's table, that leaven that infects and grows within the whole lump. You know, we have that clarity to nip it in the bud. Take it away, because it's that unleavened bread of the Lord's table that we so desire to partake, and that's that spiritual bread that comes from heaven. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Lawrence, who's got the communion.